king of the jungle was asleep in his car. When your chances fall in your lap like that, you gotta recognize them for what they really are. Nobody in this house wants to own up to the truth. I crawl in shotgun and reach into his mouth, grab hold of one long sharp tooth and hold on. For dear life, I hold on. Well, of course he wakes up, his paw hits the horn.
Hello, and welcome to Generation Goat, number 34. I'm John Martin of ShListen.com. With me, E. Christopher Clark of, I don't know, Geek Force 5, let's just say, for the sake of argument.
Man, I liked Parts Unknown better.
You can usually find him wandering around Portsmouth, New Hampshire, so just look for him, yell out Chris. And, hey, man.
Hey.
So we're back, and now we're not in my car.
Yeah, I know. It's disappointing. Your car was a lot of fun.
Nobody said anything about that episode. No one at all.
No,
not even RT.
They were stunned by the brilliance of it.
That's either that, or they were just like, "I'm never listening to this again." In which case, all right, fuck them. I mean, they're not here, so
right, yeah. So what the hell?
But you know, if you are still here, I guess we're sorry.
Yeah, apologies. You know,
or we're not sorry because it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean that's the tough thing, you know. We apologize to those of you who were underwhelmed by the awesomeness, and we welcome those of you back, and hope that your eardrums have recovered from the sheer volume of volume.
I just feel like we're in a very awkward gray area right now. I knew a person who had fallen in like with this girl, and he was telling me about this. Shortly after they had sex for the first time, she rolled over and said, "Tell me about your first time." and you know, of course, the friend was kind of like, "Well, wait, do you think that was the first time? Was I that bad?" But I feel like our audience is doing that to us with this. is my point. I don't want to name names because yeah, I feel like our audience has done that to us. This was what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing I said to you right before we started recording this one is that, like, I had fun.
I had fun. And I mean, we were basically drunk on sleep deprivation and candy.
Yeah, but that's, you know, maybe how things should be done. Maybe we should be drunk on sleep deprivation and candy right now. Instead, we're probably drunk on grading papers.
Yeah, I've been grading papers, man. It's finals week.
Yeah.
Which means I've gotten at least 3 emails this week from people who are like, "Hey, I see I missed some assignments." These are people who didn't log in all semester.
Right, yeah.
"Can I just, like, do those and give them to you next week?" No. No, you can't.
Not at all.
Yeah,
I've got people who have repeatedly told me throughout the semester, "Oh, you're going to get this paper. You're going to get it. It's coming right now. It's coming right after the final." Still
haven't.
What you can
say to them is, "I don't care." I had to have this talk with a student. I was like, "I don't care. I have no emotional investment in you failing or passing. I want you to pass because that's good, right?
Right.
And my job is to help you pass.
Yeah.
But if you want to fuck it up, go fuck it up. I don't care."
Yeah. And that's the approach that I've tried to adopt, because I've got way too many things stressing me out.
You can't spend all your time worrying about that paper.
Yeah, I got to spend all my time worrying about locking myself out of my website, or you know, having to cast a show and put it together in a month.
Yeah, you'll be fine. There's too many guys at the damn Players Ring anyway.
Yeah. Well, but see, the problem is I need 2 women and one guy.
Well, you're probably boned then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm probably boned.
You know your friend Liz is around. She's always around.
I know. Well, here's the thing. Both my friend Liz and my friend Teddy, in this case,
I remember,
is female, are both interested in being in the play. The problem is that I need 2 actresses who look at least somewhat like each other. At least in terms of
hair
color. Yeah,
that's kind of an arty thing going on there.
That's yeah, they're very different, and that worked very well in the play that I cast them in together for the evening of. But here, so I've got them, and I've got another person who's a friend of my friend Crystal, who directed the staged readings. So I've got three people who've expressed interest.
None of which are even remotely like each other.
Yeah, no. And that's
if it's
the
Crystal I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not Crystal. Crystal's not interested in being in it. It's Crystal's friend. And Crystal's friend is a brunette in the same way that Liz is a brunette.
They probably both have, like, girl shapes.
Yes. I think that's safe to say. They would both be more appropriate for the older character anyway, who's in her mid-20s to mid-30s, depending on how we cast the other part. And I have nobody for the guy. I have a couple of guys I imagine I could ask, but
right.
I got a month maybe to put it together.
Woo!
Yay!
Oh well, it'll come together there. They always do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I also have a script that's due for the play, the evening of plays that's going on after that one, and I have yet to write a draft of it.
Oh, but you said you had an idea. This is the Grand Guignol one.
Yeah, I have an idea, and I now know how many people are in it, so that when we have these sort of big open auditions tomorrow for the upcoming season, I will at least have an idea of who I'm looking for, even though I don't have a script. But
any spoilers on what the terrifying thing is in your?
There is a boot with a foot in it. That is the object of much interest in the play, and then I believe there will be some potential ghost on woman action and some potential
girl ghost or boy ghost.
Boy ghost.
Oh, okay, because the other would be gay.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait
a minute. Let's come back to that. There's something to be said about gay things.
So basically, you're doing Ghost, but Patrick Swayze's a woman, and there's cannibalism apparently.
Well, there's potentially some strangulation happening at the end.
Wow, I thought you were you were looking at autoerotic asphyxiation the other day for like yourself, but apparently it was research.
Oh, you know, I gotta look up these sorts of things because I have a pretty vanilla.
You
want to
stay abreast of things? I see.
Yeah, I gotta live vicariously.
Well, your kid's starting first grade, so it's only a matter of time before she comes home and is like, "What is this?"
Ah, yeah. I don't want to think about that. Not that at all. I don't really want to think about the first grade part or her coming home and asking me about autoerotic asphyxiation.
Do you think your kid is already like swearing with the other kids at school? If you think back to first grade, right? Like there was at least that one kid in your class who was like, "Let's talk about my penis." So, do you think that kid's in her class?
I imagine that she has some bad words that she's snuck in here or there. We watch this show on Netflix that comes from the Disney Channel called Good Luck Charlie, and there's an episode of that that's all about the little kid swearing, and of course they conveniently cover it up every time.
She got up from the couch and was like, "Fuck that shit." And we're like, "Hey."
But I know Kaylee has said some of those words here or there. Not none of the big bad ones, like some of the smaller, you know, I'm sure. I don't know if she's even said shit. I think she's said hell for sure.
Is hell actually a swear?
If you're trying to keep your kid from getting in trouble at school,
it's a proper noun.
It is a proper, okay.
When I was like 5 years old, my grandmother's babysitting me. She's like, "You said hell." And she literally washed my mouth out with soap. And I was like, but it's a place. What am
it's
I supposed
a place.
To do?
And she said, "Don't you get all sophisticated with me."
What are you going to do? What's your reaction going to be when your kid's like, "Man, fuck Charlie"?
I don't know. I mean,
are you going to be like, finally, I hate this show too. Let's watch something else.
Well, I hate that show a lot less than I hate some of the other shows that she chooses to watch on Netflix. The truth of the matter is, like, the people who created that show created it in response to the fact that every single fucking Disney Channel show is about wizards or about somebody who wants to be on a TV show or somebody who wants to be in movies.
Yeah.
Or there's one about a female songwriter and the male singer that she writes for. And like the two of them, like they're pals and I guess they go to high school,
like,
but you
special
never
pals or just pals.
I don't know, but apparently, like, they must go to school, but you never see them go to school. You see them writing songs.
School's for dicks.
And
that's singing. Apparently the message they're giving you.
I just don't get. Anyway, so this show is about Good Luck Charlie is about a family, like, and you know, I can respect that to some extent. They're all the same stupid sitcom characters that you get everywhere else, and the same stupid sitcom plots, but.
Yeah.
At least it's not about wizards or people trying to be rock stars.
It's very rare that kids' shows don't have just super lazy writing, right? Yeah. And it doesn't happen often. Like the Jim Henson Storyteller was a good one, or you know, like Fraggle Rock or The Muppets,
sure.
Or those things all had, you know, they weren't lazy. But
those things don't seem like they get created anymore.
No.
Because they're
Sorry.
I mean, also, those sorts of things, intelligent things, don't get created on adult TV all that much, at least adult broadcast TV.
True.
All that much anymore.
Did you ever watch Shelley Duvall's Fairy Tale Theater? It's on Netflix. I saw an episode when I was a kid. Robin Williams was the Frog Prince.
Yeah.
And it was so astonishingly good at the time. I wonder how it holds up.
I don't know. I never saw that. There was there was the standard stuff, Fraggle Rock and the Muppets, I remember. And I watched a lot of cartoons. I mean, Transformers and
you know, what's weird is I never watched the Transformers cartoon.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I lived through the 80s and I never watched it as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted Dinobots. I needed Dinobots. But... like, I
still have to look through my Transformers box to see if I can find you a Dinobot to play with.
I need it. I should just eBay it. I'm sure they're like a quarter on eBay. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I never watched that. I did watch G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
But it usually bored the hell out of me.
I never watched G.I. Joe. I was, like, the one kid that didn't. Boy that didn't.
I never watched... Yeah, I never watched Transformers. I did watch a lot of Voltron.
Yep.
I did watch Inspector Gadget, but I didn't want to. I was just there.
Right.
I did watch The Wuzzles, and I think I was the only person in America who liked The Wuzzles.
I had a Wuzzle.
I did too. Which one did you have?
I feel like I had Ellaroo, but I don't know if that's the one I actually had.
I had Bumble Lion.
Okay, yeah, you had Bumble Lion, because we've had this conversation at some point. I had Ellaroo.
This is riveting.
You know, in the Generation Goat drinking game, when John says this is riveting, that's when you finish the bottle.
Yeah, that's right.
And that makes the rest of the episode better. That's
yeah.
The whole point of a drinking game anyway, isn't it?
It's true. I don't know. Yeah, you know, it's funny, though, because, like, the stuff that I gravitated to as a kid, like, I couldn't really tell anybody. Like, I preferred She-Ra to He-Man because the stories were more interesting. They were. Like, she actually did stuff, and there was more interesting characters, and He-Man was just like, I'm going to get half-naked, do some more erotic shit with this dude with the mustache, and then we're going to come home.
And there's, like, an interesting role reversal there. Like, She-Ra, yes, did end up in less clothing than she did as Princess whatever, but He-Man ended up in, like, basically, you know, nothing.
Bondage gear.
Yeah, yeah.
Look back,
I mean...
Look at it again.
It's... Yeah, and then of course Dolph Lundgren ends up in that bondage gear in the
Masters
movie is
so bad. The He-Man movie.
My mother had to drive us out to. I don't know if she had to. If it was just like when we were able to see it versus when it was in the theater. We drove to the theater in Lawrence to see that, and I think she thought we were going to get shot. Well,
everybody
we were there.
Does. Everybody's like, okay, we're going to Lawrence, so. Don't look at anybody. Don't talk to anybody. Just get in the movie theater and hide.
Yeah. I don't know.
I saw Jurassic Park there. I think that's like one of two times I went to the cinema in Lawrence. The other time I went with Ken Mills to see Lawnmower Man 2.
Are you sure there wasn't a third time? Because I'm gonna bring up a potential third time. I
may have blocked it out.
I thought I remembered right around the time that the band broke up, or immediately after the time that the band broke up, you, me, and Ken meeting at the cinema in Lawrence to see That Thing You Do.
Oh, yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And then we went to Denny's.
Yeah, yes.
Wow. And that's not a terrible movie. I don't know why I blocked that out.
No, that's a good movie.
Okay.
Well, because it's around the time of the band dissolving and whatnot, maybe.
That's true. Thanks a lot, Andy. You ruined my life. Not really, but at the time I said some really melodramatic shit, and it makes me sad that I said it and it's out there.
How is it? One thing I gotta say, like, that seems weird that it was that movie and that it was that situation. That's why I kind of question my memory there, but I think I'm right.
No, I think you're right.
And it would make sense at the time because I was going to school in Haverhill and you guys were in Lowell and we'd met halfway. You know, it was.
You know, it's funny like how certain TV shows like really stick in your memory as being epically good. Like going back to what we were thinking about.
Yeah.
Like in my memory, the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon was the biggest, awesomest thing ever.
Right.
I recently watched some episodes. It's fun, but
not good.
Wow. And there's one show in particular that really sticks in my memory thinking about that right around that same time. There was a show, I think it was on ABC, but I could be wrong, and it featured a guy who moves to the Caribbean to live in this manor for some reason. I think he's like a retired cop or some shit, or
yeah,
he goes to the Caribbean. And when he gets there, he finds that it's inhabited by the ghost of a pirate. And
all right.
They fight crime together. And the show wasn't long-lived, but it was real. I watched it with Jerry and Diane. I know it existed. Uh-huh. And I have yet to have anybody remember what the name of the show could possibly be.
Wow.
And
I bet.
Yeah, I think Blackbeard was in the title, but it could have been Bluebeard or, like, Bumblebeard. I have no idea. But anyway, if anybody out there in Goatland knows, please end my suffering.
You know which one I recall digging a lot, and I know that I've seen it since and that it doesn't hold, or I don't think it holds up, is Pride of the X-Men, which is not a full like series, but that it was the one-off that was supposed to be like the pilot for an X-Men cartoon years before the actual X-Men cartoon.
I think it's actually on Netflix.
Is it?
I saw it the other day.
Because the one thing I remember as a kid thinking it was brilliant, and then later on, probably as a teenager, watching it, probably at the comic store, watching and realizing Wolverine's not supposed to have an Australian accent, is he?
No. Poor Wolverine.
Yeah.
I mean, I really hope that next Wolverine movie will be good, but I don't know.
Well, Hugh Jackman did have one of the best cameos of all time in that first X-Men First Class movie.
It's true.
I mean,
he's great at the character. It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs a good script. He needs fantastic people around him. If they set it in Japan, I mean, that seems to be one of the settings that people really like about Wolverine.
It's a great run of books, the time he spends in Japan. So
yeah. I love my favorite period of Uncanny X-Men is the period where it's after they've gone through, some of them have gone through the Siege Perilous and come out in different bodies, different personalities, kind of somewhat, some of them are aware that they were X-Men, some of them aren't. Storm is in the middle of Africa as a little kid, or all sorts of weird stuff. And meanwhile, Wolverine, who didn't go through the Siege Perilous, is rescued by Jubilee. Meets up with Psylocke, and the three of them are traveling all over Asia. I didn't read the Wolverine Japanese adventures, but I love the stuff with him and Psylocke and Jubilee.
Psylocke's a really messed up character. Like, just thinking about how she was introduced,
yep.
And then, you know, she's a good guy, she's a bad guy, she might be this Betsy Braddock person. She might not be that person.
Right.
And there's this whole other Mandarin business. It's just so confusing and weird. And
It's honestly, it's the problem with a lot of Marvel continuity.
Mm.
The traditional Marvel 616 universe continuity is that it's gotten so convoluted over the years that trying to follow any of these stories and have any investment in them is that's one obstacle for sure. Of course, the other obstacles are, you know, people dying and coming back, dying and coming back, dying and coming back. No actual consequences to anything. By contrast, the Ultimate Universe maybe has too many consequences. They've killed off people permanently, so Peter Parker is dead. Most of the X-Men are dead. So you've got an X-Men book, but with very few actual Ultimate X-Men in them. You have both sides of the coin there. I don't know. I've become much more of a fan of the way that the movies are put together.
Mm.
The movies stand alone as most of them. We've talked about this last episode. Most of them stand alone as really good stories, and then they tie together. And if you happen to watch all of them, awesome. You know, I don't know.
I've yet to read anything bad about the Avengers movie, actually, thinking about last week. Everybody just seems to love it universally.
Yeah, well, yes. And now it's gotten into, articles about things like the laugh moments, the lines that we missed because we were so busy laughing about the previous laugh. So there apparently, I think we both acknowledged that there was a line that Hulk says to Loki after he's finished beating him back and forth.
Yeah.
But we lost it entirely. And I guess it was something about being a puny god. And apparently that line was delivered and it was hilarious too, but
Somebody made a little animated gif of our favorite moment with Hulk,
so yeah.
I've had it just hanging out on my desktop when I need a laugh, which is pretty great.
Oh man, it is so much good about that. I cannot believe it's been a week and that I have not seen it again.
We should. I'm leaving for Belgium on Tuesday, but I could theoretically go on Monday.
I'll have to check out the schedule because I...
Or even Sunday, but Monday would be better.
Yeah. Well, this weekend, as I mentioned, of course, I've got auditions.
When are those?
They are 12 to 3 on Saturday and then 3 to 6 on Sunday.
I hear you.
Which is crazy because I don't understand how they can possibly be 3 to 6 on Sunday because the Sunday evening show is always an hour earlier, which means that the doors would be opening at 6:30 for the show that night, and you're going to have to clear out all these auditioning actors and all this other stuff.
Maybe they're hoping they'll turn into paying audience members.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm thinking about going to see that show tonight. I haven't decided yet. The show that's opening tonight is Wit, which stars Constance Wit Man. Which is interesting.
Oh, dear.
have you heard of Wit, the play?
No.
Apparently, it's much beloved, at least by the people who are friends with me on Facebook. They're all like, oh, that play is awesome. That play is awesome.
Interesting.
And so they're bringing it to the ring. So.
No, I don't know it. What's the premise of...
Of course, I've turned off all of my internet-powered things, but it centers around a professor of literature, I think. And
it's one of those plays. I'm gonna
no, but I think she is. I think that just happens to be one of the things about her. I think what's going on is that she is sick or ill, and one of the other characters is a doctor that's helping her cope with things. I don't know. It sounds interesting. I mostly, if I'm going, it would be to commiserate with friends beforehand to start planning out this play that I have to do, but also to support Constance, who is apparently amazing.
Yeah, I've got the summary here. It actually just seems sort of interesting, except It would be very hard for me to watch with someone who specializes in John Donne, because it was a guy in the last year of my PhD program who came to us as a postdoc who specializes in John Donne, and he wouldn't shut the fuck up about John Donne ever. I swear to God, he would shoehorn him into any conversation. We'd be talking about a guy who printed books like 2 centuries before Donne, and he'd be like, well, this is kind of like what John Donne does, because... No, it's not. It's nothing like it. Nothing at all. Nothing at all like it. Well, I mean, not exactly, but, you know, if you consider that Donne... No, no, we don't have to consider it. You're just wrong. Shut up. Donne is not the answer to everything. I swear to God, one time we were talking about, like, Lost, and he was like, well, you know, it's a lot like John Donne, because Donne writes... Like, no, it's nothing like a John Donne sonnet. Just shut up and sit down.
There are people like that with their subject all across disciplines. I mean, that's like Ken Mills in Jump by Van Halen. I mean, it just comes up.
I feel like that's what academia forces people to do, because like they expect when you finish your PhD that you're going to be like, you know, a huge specialist in whatever it is you did. And so,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that aside, I hope it's a lovely show.
Yes. I hope so, too. Because if I go, I'm going to be spending, Stephanie and I have been on, you know, for the past few months on this kick of sticking to a very strict budget. So I will finally be on my budget for May and spending a good chunk of it to go to see this play. And the reason that I'm not going to be on my May budget until May 11th is that we decided the first couple weeks of May wouldn't count because... You and I were going to see the Avengers, and she was down in Orlando at a conference, but also going to Disney World.
It's true. Your kid went to Disney. Well, one of them, the kid you like, went
the
to
kid. I like both my kids.
How did that go? Is your kid like super excited, or does she hate being home now? Or
no,
because I remember the first time I went to Disney that I can remember coming home and being like, this sucks.
I think she's happy to be home. I think she missed me, she has plenty to do here. That's fun, and she seems in good spirits. She had an amazing time. She really loved Epcot. Above all else.
Me too. That was my favorite as a kid, hands down.
Yeah, I'm amazed at the amount of things they actually got to do. They were only there for they got there on late on Wednesday evening, and then they were there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But two of those days were out of the mix because of the conference.
Right.
With the two and a half days that they had remaining, managed to go to the Magic Kingdom, managed to spend time at Epcot, and managed to get to Animal Kingdom in the morning to go on the safari.
Pretty good. I mean, well, it helps that, like, I think... I know at least like the Magic Kingdom has this thing where they're open like 24 hours now, right? And
they were there quite late, as I understand. And of course, the one obstacle they had to face is that my 6-year-old, you know, she's eventually going to get tired. So all that walking around, they did eventually rent a stroller so that she could pass out as needed, or not even pass out necessarily, but get rest where she needed.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. Not as cool as the Avengers.
Yeah, but you know, a few things are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, cool.
Yeah, so that I'm a little jealous that I didn't get to go, but you know.
So now, if you ever go as a family again, and you bring the other kid,
yeah,
how are you going to get Kaylee not to be like, oh, this is just like the last time we were here, and you weren't invited, bitch.
Yeah. That'll be when she brings up that'll be her first swear word when she calls her sister a bitch. That's...
But it'll almost be kind of like, well, you did use that to maximum burn effect, so.
Well, there, good on you.
Carry on. Wow. Well, cool, man. So you went to check out First Grades today.
Yeah.
Your kid's going on vacations without you.
I know.
You're old.
I'm old, and not enjoying it at all. I actually had a
Jesus. Oh, sorry, Karen.
I had a minor freakout after my last final on Wednesday evening. I was walking, age-related freakout. I was walking back along Mass Ave from where the building was that we had the test in, back to where my car was parked, and I passed.
Get out?
Yeah. Yeah, that was what started it. And then what finished it off, what got me into a minor little crying fit, was watching some of the students, not students that I knew, but a couple of students walking by, sort of arms around each other, talking about completely stupid, inane bullshit, and realizing, like, half my life is gone. Probably more than half of my life is gone.
It depends how much you stress about it.
Well, that's kind of what then ended up making it even worse, was that exact thought. I was like, yeah, if I wasn't thinking this thought right now, and I didn't constantly think this kind of thought, then I might have more life left in me.
I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, honestly, like, yeah, I get there sometimes. I'm like, wow, I'm 33. Yeah. And I'm still in that messy gray area between student and real life. Okay.
It's okay. It's going to be all right.
Well done. I am fucked. Yeah. And, yeah, it's really tempting at that moment because, you know, obviously you can see the future to be like, well, that's it. Like, the rest of my life is completely over. I mean, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, if I think back, like, just 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, to when I had finished high school and done a terrible job of being in high school.
Yeah.
You know, I would have at the same time probably said the same thing, like, well, and I did, you know, well, I just have to get a regular job and do that. And that's, right. Oh, well, I missed my shot. You know, I wouldn't have realized that in 7 years I'd be at Cambridge, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't have occurred to me.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's really tempting to say, well, I'm older and I know better, but you don't, and you can't. For all you know, I mean, you just got published in that book. For all you know, someone's going to leave it on the right coffee table, and in 2 months, right, someone will be like, hey, man, do you write anything else?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the dream, right? I mean, you mentioned the book. I don't know if we've mentioned it here.
No, but you know, I don't really care about your shit. I was just throwing it in there to get you to shut up. Oh wait, no, sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm gonna be in this anthology, River Muse, which it was called something else before, but now it's called River Muse: Tales of Lowell and the Merrimack Valley. And I'm gonna be in the same table of contents as Jack Kerouac and Andre Debuse III.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, and apparently a whole bunch of other people, but,
and then some losers, but yeah.
And I don't know, it's, I feel like, I feel alternately like this is the, I mean, because of the Mayans, this is the year the world's going to end, or...
Oldest Mayan calendar to date was reported on yesterday, and yeah, it's just, like, conclusively demonstrating that this is an enormous crock of shit.
Alternately, I think this is the year it's all going to happen, like, that things are coming together. I'm getting published here and there, I've got plays, and... if I actually manage to manage my time well this summer, maybe I can actually get my novel together and get it out. You know, it's theoretically done. It's theoretically been done for 2.5 years. But
I'm sure once the summer comes, you'll feel the need to tinker with it again.
I already feel the need to tinker with it.
You can only polish it. Never mind.
Thank you.
I mean...
yeah.
Writing is never finished, Chris. You just have to let it go.
I think there's based on the last rejection that I got, there are at least some tweaks that could be very easy tweaks. Things like
more boobies.
Yes, there can always be more boobs. But there can be less names, I think. Less especially in the first 50 pages or so.
I'd go with fewer names.
Yes.
Maybe I do need to edit that for you.
There could be fewer characters, and fewer names, or fewer named characters. And that was one of the criticisms, was there are too many people to keep track of. And I think, I don't necessarily know that there are too many people to keep track of in the early going, because in my brain, there aren't that many people who are that important.
Right.
I think the instance, the whatever, the problem, might be that there are too many people who are named, and therefore you see a name, you think, oh, that person's important, I need to keep track of them, as opposed to a bunch of people around a table, and only the most important ones are named.
Hmm.
The reason I bring this up is I've seen, having done Crossroads or the Piano of Death, which is in many ways a combination of all the best parts of the first chapter of the novel, by omitting characters and omitting people in order to keep it down to a relatively manageable size in terms of a cast,
mm-hmm.
I think I made the story clearer. Mm-hmm. So thinking about that and applying the whole concept of I'm done talking. But there are some things that I feel like I've learned that in the last 2.5 years that I could apply to it.
Well, I mean,
the problem is, I mean, eventually, I guess I'm not done talking. The problem is that eventually I think I'm just going to have to decide, like, is the thing just not salvageable, and does it just end up in a drawer, or is it, am I going to put it out into the world somehow?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you hate to give up on so much work, right? But on the one hand, you know, you can't base everything on one rejection, or even like 20, right? I mean, Andre Gibbs III, who you're sharing a table of contents with, you know, House of Sand and Fog, he told me, got over 70 rejections. And this was after the dude had won awards for his other work,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I mean, you know, as you know, obviously you can't just decide on one or two. But I mean, I think if right. you did decide to go the other way, yeah, I mean, look at all the good stuff that happened because you were already working on a novel, right? Like, it right. made you want to write other plays and do other stuff and meet other people. So even if, like, it sits around for quite a while you do other projects,
right?
It spawned a lot of good things, like yeah. this book that you're published in now.
Yeah.
But I reached a point with my dissertation, and I know, you know, it's not the same, but it is book length. And, you know, I reached a point where it was like super cumbersome and just impossible. You know, you get to that point where you're like, I can't edit this, because if I move this thing, then I already spent so much time weaving everything together, I have to right. rewrite it. And finally you reach the logical point where you say, okay, I'll rewrite it. And one thing I found that was really useful, and, you know, it requires subsequent editing, but was just to say, okay, you know what? What's the idea of chapter one? This is the idea of chapter one. All right.
Yeah.
I'm just going to write chapter one today. I'm just going to do it today. All 20,000 words are going to happen yeah. now. And something about, like, taking the best parts memory version of your work and then just writing the new one
yeah.
in the now, actually, I think can really help reinvigorate a project, because it kind of forces you to lose all of the chaff, you know,
right. because yeah.
it does. So I don't know, like, you know, as a thought experiment, you might just like say, I'm going to rewrite this part of the novel from memory, you know,
yeah.
and just see if you like it better when it's done. Of okay. course, then that's, you know, tempting to keep going and going and going, but
right.
that can be good.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think as long as there's a plan in place for it, I don't think there's any harm in me taking another stab at it.
Or we could just give it up and write that movie about Ken Mills we've always wanted to write.
Yes, because that is going to win us awards.
Well, that American Zoetrope contest they have every year, it ends next month. We could write it real quick, submit yeah. that, send it in the shot of Ken.
Of course, I do have a stage play to write pretty much today or tomorrow, and that's not going to happen. But
and then there was that play we were going to work on.
I know. This is the part that, I don't know. I going back to that whole, without totally going back to the whole moment there walking by the students, of being like, man, I work so, and you got to feel this too, like, you work so hard at something that you lose sight of the things you really want to do.
Yep.
Like, you're working really hard at the, this, you're working really hard at at the stuff that you need to do for one reason or another, whether it's for money, whether it's for whether it's to complete a degree, whether it's whatever, and then you sort of realize, like, I don't have any time left for the things I really want to do.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so like I want to work on that that play that we were working on, and I want to work on this novel. And I'm just sitting there going, when do I, you know, I want to finish my damn website or start it, you know.
Well, that's something we can do.
You know, there's, yeah. So that's the moment. And of course, I'm not even officially into the summer yet, so I shouldn't be freaking out.
Yeah.
In the way that I am, but
there's plenty of time. It's a shame, like stuff like websites, you can't have like a barn raising where like you just get all your friends together and like hack together parts of the website, like you know they do with other things.
Yeah,
way to go. Like just have a hackathon and build your website.
The stupid thing is my website is not all that complicated.
Yeah, but it'd be fun.
I
think actually that would be a really fun. Like the concept of that New Hampshire Media Makers thing that you go to,
yeah,
it would be really fun if there were a corollary event where the Media Maker showed up and then people showed up and they were like, I need to build a thing that does this. And they just had a little mini hackathon to improve people's, you know, media and web experience. That would be cool.
They've done a couple things recently that I don't know if they're quite that, but they probably come close where they had Media Makers at night and they met and somebody... who was an expert in whatever they did. So whether it was music or crafting or something would be there and would lead everyone in a sort of, not classroom setting, but a sort of workshop kind of thing.
Hmm.
So there it wasn't necessarily based around the idea of putting together something finished. It was just based on learning something. But yeah, I like your idea. I mean, I think... you certainly, that sort of collaboration is a lot more fun than I think sitting there and sitting here and trying to think of things all on your own.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I mentioned locking myself out of my my website earlier in the show. And,
well played, sir.
And it... You know, basically, you were able to help me out with that in about 30 seconds. Like, the fact that when you get together with somebody else, that problems that seemed insurmountable when you were sitting there in a room by yourself can be resolved.
So. It's definitely true. It's especially true with, like, a lot of the programming stuff I've been up to. It's just, yeah. Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. This is why you don't check your email during an episode of Generation Goat.
No.
Well, Mother's Day is this weekend, right? And I was
right.
just thinking, like, oh, I should really, you know, I should step it up and get something for my mom because we've had a bad month. And
yeah.
my mom just emailed me to let me know that something came for me and, you know, to let me know that she's really, really depressed because her dog just died in her arms. It's kind of like, oh, great.
Oh, gosh.
Now what am I going to do? You know, like, what... What flowers are going to make her feel better now?
about oh my goodness.
Damn it. So, yeah, that's right. Mother's Day. Are you doing anything exciting for Stephanie this year?
No, I mean, I wish that
God,
I was.
You still suck. We had this conversation last year on the code.
I know. I never do anything. I'm terrible.
What a douche. No wonder they went to Disney without you.
Well, that's what they did, you know. That's Mother's Day. That's whatever. I think that's cool, right?
All right.
She and I have talked about that. I think, you know, I think that was kind of Mother's Day, and I told her, like, she feels bad about how much money she spent down there. I'm like, that's what we decided. You were gonna spend whatever you needed to spend. It was a special event.
And then you're like, but by the way, did you have all this diamond jewelry before you left?
Oh, if only she liked jewelry. That would make buying things way
simpler. Mara doesn't like jewelry either.
I don't know. I know women who do, right? So I know it's not a stereotype without a base basis. But yeah, my wife doesn't. You know, Nora doesn't. My sister-in-law kind of does a little bit more.
Oh, that girl at the strip club you tried to give that ring to was furious.
Yeah, she's the one that I've met that not really
that was
interested
awkward.
In the bling. Yeah, I mean, come on, every other one wearing all sorts of bling, if not anything else.
It was awkward.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, fair enough. Yeah. So now I'm like, great. What am I gonna do now?
Right. I don't know. I don't know what you do in that situation.
I don't know what to say either, because it's like, I understand that it sucks losing a pet, and I feel really bad for
right.
it. But yeah. I hated the dog. It's like when my awful dog died, the one that I had last, that you might have remembered from
yes.
such moments as, don't wake up the dog! being yelled down the stairs while we were having band practice.
Right.
Yeah, true story, folks. Also, make sure you feed the dog meant, could you cook for the dog? Not kidding. I hated that dog. So when it died, my dad was all like heartbroken and stuff, and I was like, right. Oh, so that dog isn't around anymore?
Mm.
Oh, awesome. I mean, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. It's why I'm not an animal person. I'm just not.
Well, you have like allergies and stuff. Like,
right.
These cats are so much better. Yeah, suck it, goat listeners. because dogs, everybody I know who has a dog is like, oh shit, I have to go out and I'm going to be out for more than like 4 hours. So I don't know what I'm going to do because the dog's going to tear up my house and it's going to just defecate everywhere. What am I going to do? And you're like, you know what you can do with a cat? You can leave it alone for a whole weekend. Make sure it has food and water. It doesn't care. It has a litter box, and it's not going to wreck your stuff any more than it usually does.
Yeah, this is true. I don't know. I think about animals, and I'm kind of not interested. And I my position on this has evolved over the years. I used to not mind the idea of pets. Then I kind of, you know, saw a bunch of people who were close to me have to lose their pet and how much that tore them up.
Well, as George Perman pointed out, you're purchasing a mini tragedy.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that was the part of it that I wasn't interested in, that the whole end part of it. But
maybe it's just your personality. Maybe what you need to do is purchase a pet that you really fucking hate. So that instead of a mini tragedy, one day you'll have the satisfaction of standing over it and going, ha! Worm food.
That's not a bad idea.
There you go.
I like this idea a lot.
You should go up to like Petco or whatever and just be like, I need something awful.
Yeah.
What do you have that sucks?
Yeah. You got any ferrets?
Yeah.
Though when we looked at houses in this townhouse development that we live in, the house that we didn't pick,
it's full of ferrets.
That whole downstairs. It was actually, we did put a bid in on that house, but they didn't want it. They didn't want to take our bid. They thought we were lowballing. But the whole downstairs, the
carpet, you were like, dude, it smells like a horde of ferrets.
It did. There were a couple ferrets. I don't know if there was a weasel. There was something other than the ferrets, in addition to the ferrets down there. Yeah.
Carry on.
And yeah, so I pretty much think most animals suck. I just don't.
Yeah. You can't hate bunnies.
I can hate bunnies. What?
Why? They're cuddly and they're delicious. And they poop Cocoa Puffs.
That's right.
So come on.
Okay, I don't hate bunnies. I hate the rest of them. I do. I don't see the point. I just think.
What about
goats? Goats? I fucking hate goats most of all.
All right. Podcast over. Never taking you to a Mountain Goats concert, and we're canceling this podcast.
Yeah. Well, you know what I do love? I mean, aside from the bunnies, I don't even have to say it. And I won't say it, because if I say it, it means that they're going to come back to the podcast. So there is one type of animal that I adore.
Waysiders aren't an animal.
tell that to them.
Oh, that's true, actually. They're kind of animals.
Yeah.
Especially that bushy one.
Yeah, the one with the beard.
Yeah.
I think he's probably got animals living in that beard.
That'd be cool. I don't know. If you could, like, have a huge bushy beard and, like, little Disney bluebirds would come out of it and, like, go get you stuff. Yeah, right.
You once were in a car that had an animal that lived in the dashboard, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Was that Ken?
No, that was somebody else.
Had a snake in it.
That's right. Yeah. That was fun.
Good times. All right. Well, no pets for you. No more goat. No more mountain goats for you. It's a shame because I just found an amazing Mountain Goats concert. Full concert on YouTube. Not sending it to you.
I don't know. I might be able to stomach goats for a couple hours. Especially the mountain variety. I don't know. It's the ones that just hang out, like, you know, in the yard.
Don't do that.
The mountain goats, those are crazy.
Not being this for you.
They're crazy, the mountain goats. You know, the way they climb up there and, yeah. I dig some mountain goats.
You might have to, that bookmark may actually be for middle of the concert, so you might have to back it up. But right. I'll stick it in the show notes and other people can experience it because it was quite cool.
So what else is going on? Anything else going on?
Apart from me fleeing the country.
Where are you fleeing the country to?
Next week I am getting on a plane and I am heading over to Brussels. And because Nora is in a place called Turnhout, which is in Belgium, and I'm getting off this plane, I'm going to the Brussels Central train station, and then I'm meeting Nora there, and then we're going to Paris right away. So
no time for waffles.
There will be waffles. Nora is obsessed with her waffles. And over there, like, they don't have to be hot and fresh. Apparently they prepackage them as well, and, like, you can buy packs of waffles, and apparently they're supposed to be good anyway. I'm very much of the mind that waffles and pancakes need to be made to order, but
yeah,
Europeans have a different attitude about this, I've discovered.
I don't know. The reason I gained so much weight in college and my favorite part of the dining hall at Bradford was the waffle maker. I loved me a freshly made waffle with syrup on it at any time of the day, breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Yeah.
You know, it was fantastic.
How can you not?
I want to go have a waffle right now, in fact, with goats on it.
But so we're going to Paris and we'll be there for a few days. We're going to go see a lot of stuff that we've seen before and eat at my favorite steak restaurant in the whole world. And we're going to go to Giverny, which is where Monet's house was when he might have retired to the country. And the gardens at Giverny are a lot of them ones that he painted. So the Japanese bridge is there and the water lily pond, the water lily pond, and various other things. And they've kind of kept them the way he planted and kind of designed the gardens, and they've kind of kept them the way he did. So going there, it's very much like stepping into a living Monet. Which is kind of cool if you like that sort of thing. So we're gonna do that, and then we're gonna hang out in Bruges, which is in Belgium, and then we're gonna go to Turnhout for a bit, and we'll be visiting Ghent and Antwerp, and we'll be going to Luxembourg to see Nora's parents as well, and then I'll come home. So 2 weeks, no goat, sorry everybody. Or you're welcome. And then I'll come home and I'll be home for, if you want to go, it'll have to be that weekend because I'm leaving on Sunday the 3rd to go to Victoria for a week. But on Sunday the 10th, you should come because Anna Dagmar, our friend from high school, is having her CD release party in Chelmsford on the 10th. So
there you go.
You should come because there'll be a lot of people from high school there that we can like feel awkward with together.
Wait, is that a reason to go?
Yeah. Because I've decided that the way you win the reunion is by making the other person feel more awkward than you do.
Okay, fair enough.
So
sounds like a plan.
Anyway, so that's me. So I'll be doing all that stuff, and hopefully there'll be interesting things to talk about when we come home.
Sure. Well, have fun in Belgium and Paris.
I will. Paris? I will eat lots of steak frites. Because that's what I do. See lots of museums, probably.
Mediums.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's me. Anything you're going to do in the 2 weeks that I'm gonna, besides celebrate?
I will write a lot, I hope. Hopefully by the next time we talk, I will have something together in terms of this play, which will be will be much closer by that point.
Believe it or not, I'm actually going to have a bit of downtime. So if you want to, you know, email me a draft or whatever.
Sure.
Riveting. Okay, so
they just had to drink it in two bottles in this
so
podcast.
That's that. I got nothing else to tell you right now. Just kind of a lazy afternoon of post grading.
Yeah, that's me here too. So,
all right.
Cool.
Let's call it a goat.
We'll call it a mountain goat.
Yeah. Except you don't like those. Goat hater. And the
tears roll down. Bye.
Bye. My face.
Till my cheeks are hot and red and soaking wet. In come the cops. They blow towards the doors. I start wailing. The lion roars. There's no good way to end this. Anyone can see. There's this great big you and little old me, and we hold on. For dear life, we hold on. We hold on.
We're now recording. So if you got anything you want to fuck up or get out of your system, this is the time to do it.
Ah, you know. No, I got none.
Okay.